bless you all. Good morning. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful spring morning, right? God is good. Welcome in all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we touch on this Sunday school lesson. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful again, once again, that you've given us time, life, and space, Father, to this moment, Father, of service, to come to you, Lord, and in spirit and in truth and simplicity, Lord, to open up the pages of life. We pray that you reveal to us, Father, starting with this lesson, Lord, your precious promise to us, that you reveal to us an abundance of peace. I pray that you would settle our hearts this morning and prepare us for worshiping, for having a service, Father, and for hearing the revelation truth of this message you called us in. As your seals are unfolding, Father, to those that are new. So I pray that you would have your way this morning, and may you visit with every one of us. May you give us a time, Father, to sit in your presence and to have all things be made right. I pray for a special time in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you do have your Bibles, one verse you would like to go to is chapter 3 of chapter 3 of Colossians. And the content here is going to be about the peace of God. And in this chapter here, notice how it says, it's talking about, in the first verse, just to give you a context, it says, if you be risen with Christ. So as we speak on verse 15, which we'll be focusing on, just see, it's talking to the new man. Amen. And then verse 14, it has, in God above all things, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Right? And then it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen? So as a title, I have the peace of God, but as a subtitle, I have the peace of God ruling in your heart. Amen? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart? And here we have Colossians 3:15. And notice what it says. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I was reading to our children a bedtime scripture. And I just thought it's beautiful how it says to have that rule in your heart. It's that peace of God. And it's something so simple. But just think about it. Out of the heart flows the issues of life, right? And a lot of times other things come out of the heart. So just meditate on how, what it is like to walk in that peace, and what does it take, but how it says to have the peace of God itself ruling in our hearts. Amen. To which also you are called. This message called you out, right? In one body. And then be thankful. Also, what I glean from that is when the peace of God is in effect in our lives, It does bring forth a gratefulness, right? You're on that mode of being thankful. And I just think how thankful we are to know that we've had this Bible, that we've gone through salvation. By God's grace, those have gone through sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you receive this message. And what a thankfulness it should have. In the Old Testament, we read about offerings, right? And then there's something called a peace and a thanks or thanksgiving offering. And oftentimes they were put together. See? So the correlation of having that peace of God ruling in your hearts because you were called for it in one body. And therefore we're reminded to be thankful. And where I'm coming at it from this for this study is the focus is it's the peace of God by the Holy Ghost. See? Brother Aaron was ministering a couple weeks or so ago, and he said something that I was meditating on for this topic. But he said, you know, when you really have the Holy Ghost, it gives you a settling peace. And he literally said those two words, and I said, no, that's it. That's exactly what I've been wanting to, you know, bring some scriptures on, is that settling peace. I mean, here in this life, and this message won't be about, like, peace as in, like, you know, in the natural, when we have wars and peace. I'm talking about inside our being, right? Yeah. That peace of God that's inside us, you know, walking in peace. Because you see, there's a very big difference between when you are still unsettled about your eternal destiny. And so when the Holy Ghost comes and makes himself sure in you, it just gives you that settling peace. It establishes the most important question in life, right? What would you go for all eternity? Not only what would you go, but who will you be, you know? What will your purpose be? I mean, what a worse definition for hell than to be destituted from everything that's God and that is called God and that is good, right? So just that alone, and peace is the opposite. It basically gives you that settling sureness of your destiny, and also of, it just answers all those questions you had in life. It brings about that that establishment of your lifelong questions. Amen? All right, so Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Amen. Right? So this is a spiritual peace. Right? There is the natural peace, right? Like when you're walking in a library, I suppose, or whatever else, and it could just be tranquil, peaceful, and quiet. But you can still have a turmoil inside your soul. So this is a spiritual peace. The peace of God. And we're touching on, right? Amen? See, this is how it happened. In John 20, then Jesus said to them, again, "Peace be unto you." So Jesus preached peace. We'll see it, but not as we suppose. "And as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you." And when he had said this, what did he say? "Peace be unto you." He breathed on them. He spoke a word, right? He just said, "Peace be unto you." "And said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost." Amen. When he had said this, so that's something he had said before. In verse 21, we see that he said, "Peace be unto you." And it's just amazing that, you know, peace be still. And in many ways, the kind of peace that I'm talking about is the peace that results after you received his revelation, the revelation of his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you personally, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a personal experience to you that opens up the door for the revealing of this message that you know, comes by the hearing of the word. Faith comes by that, but it's also continues to unfold. It's the same message that called you out, but in the Holy Spirit then allows you to continue to understand the unfolding of this Bible message, I would call it, that we've been called to, amen? What I find, there is a scripture, right, where it says, "Think not that I came to bring peace." You know, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But if you get out of context, you might think that, Jesus wasn't about peace. Yet he was called the Prince of Peace, right? So we'll touch on that content. It was talking about if a house be worthy of peace, you know, let it settle and rest on the house. If not, let it return back unto you, right? So he says, I came to bring peace, but not as the world. Right, so it's two different pieces. Because here's where it says, what I notice is the New Testament salutations, there's 13 epistles that Paul wrote. Some of them are first and seconds and such. But I counted 13 that in the first couple, three verses, it says, "Grace and peace be unto you." So this was a gospel of peace, right? It was Jesus preached on it, right? The messenger brought it, shalom, amen. And then we saw Peter as well in his epistles, two of his epistles starting off with just grace and peace. Like that is the salutation. We see John doing it too in the epistles. John, the revelator, if you will. And then in Jude, actually, it says the same thing as well. Grace and mercy and peace be unto you. So these gospels, truth, came to that. And remember, we saw in Colossians, it says, if you be risen with Christ, you have this peace. Amen. And it's salutating those churches that are under that revelation. See, Brother Branham preached two times a message called Shalom. In Arizona, I think both. One was in Sierra Vista, the other one was in Phoenix, if I recall right. But I like this portion because it says, but to the elected, precious and called saints of God, I say unto you this coming year, it was supposed to be a New Year's message. He says, Shalom and God's peace. Amen. So here we have, we'll see John the Baptist himself, when Zechariah was prophesying of him, he's prophesying of him that he will bring light and a message of peace. And here we have Jesus preaching peace, being prophesied of him before he came. And then here we have the apostles, or in this case, Paul and the disciples, bringing a message of peace. And it is not as the world gives. It is a hidden peace because it's hitting under feather winds. Well, we're touching an illustration here on being under wings as a type of the Old and the New Testament, right? And the revelation of that. Amen. So it all ties together very beautiful. So in here, he was bringing about Isaiah 60, where it says, to show the light, right? Where it says, rise and shine for the light. And he said, good morning, you know, the light. It means peace, he said right before this. To you, that's the reason I can say shalom. See, the light has come to you. Amen. He did the same thing that John the Baptist did. We'll show you here in a little bit. God's peace to the elected woman. That's the peace that I'm doing this study on. Is the peace, the settling peace, as Brother Aaron mentioned, that comes with the knowing who you are, right? Who Jesus Christ is in the Bible, and what is he doing this day and this age, right? Amen. What is this message came to do for us? To the elected lady, to those who God, before the foundation of the world, called out and ordained to that. Isaiah 26:3, it says, If thou will keep him in perfect peace. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. Perfect. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. So we're promised peace. The Lord will give strength unto this people. We were talking about last time on strength. The Lord will bless his people with peace. But the meek shall inherit the earth, it says in Psalm, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Amen. In Isaiah 9:6, of course, we're promised that among these other names, that he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and then the Prince of Peace. In another place we are able to read where he was also called the King of Salem. Amen. Right. King of Prince and King of Peace. So the context here is about old Baron in 54. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, right? But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Promising to the woman, right? It says, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. What a beautiful covenant, right? That he's given us. Yeah. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You know, that chapter 54, it's very tender, right? It's talking about all barren, right? You that may be lacking in these areas, but know ye that this and this, and the promises are big. And one of them is that there's a covenant of peace given. Isaiah 55, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So these are the promises. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In Jeremiah, this is a beautiful promise. This is 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and a cure, and I will cure them. But look at this. And will reveal unto them abundance of peace. So that peace has to come by revelation. It is not a natural peace that you'll get just by being out at a departmental store and just being at ease. It is a peace about your future. It's a peace about your standing with God. It's a peace about your entire life. It is a peace about being reconciled, we'll see in a little bit, and about the Bible. And about the Bible came, right? And it stirred up. It brought up a question, you know, which side are you going to be in? And that's where the lion meets, where, you know, Jesus says, not as you suppose. Of course, we know, beautiful illustration here, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We'll touch a little bit about how righteousness ties up with peace as well. But look at this illustration, under his wings. In Psalm 17:8, it says, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. So that's beautiful, see? It's just the shadow of really being under the truth revelation and rightly fitting together the Old Testament, the New Testament, right? And the presence of the author. What a place to be. How this message teaching came about is, I here I am in my study and seeking the Lord on what to bring next, and just the peace that comes by. But you know, you have to set yourself aside, but then he'll meet you there. Right. And it was just so great that I said, well, why don't we just touch on what I'm perceiving right now, what God's doing to me right this moment. Right. That alone is a message, just when you go and seek him. But that's because he already had that first fruit there. And you just have to set aside all the noise and hustle and bustle of the world. And he'll come by like this. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Amen. It's a beautiful illustration that he shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shall thou trust. You see, trust, peace, trust, trust. And his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He'll protect you, but it'll also defend you. So you don't want to mess with Mama Eagle right there. he'll bust out that Old and New Testament revelation of it and just say, thus saith the Lord. Can't really mess with that. Amen. Just a beautiful illustration that here it says, the Lord lift up his countenance, so his, upon thee. Look at the little eaglet there. And give thee peace. See? Of course, we know that right now it's a time of turmoil and all that in the world and all that. I mean, look at that little eagle. It just seems so defenseless against anything, right? But one day that eagle will grow in revelation and have his own eagle's wings, his own personal revelation of the Jehovah of the old, being Jesus of the new. And have his own wings to fly with, to cover his own children and to cover himself, right? So it's just a beautiful and to be lifted up high. And those paths that this is a beautiful how there's the smoke of this world, but the ego anointing, right, is you can be lifted up from it all. Right. And it cease me to amaze me that the storms are just so terrible when you're looking from the bottom side up of the cloud. But once you're above those clouds, like when you are flying, no amount of storm will affect you above it, because storms don't rise up, they rise down. All the effects of the storms come down on us, the lightning and all that, just don't go up beyond those clouds. So you're on that heavenly atmosphere, hitting together, right? All in feathers. It's just amazing. So see, peace and righteousness working together. Look at this. And the work of righteousness, Isaiah speaking here, it says, shall be peace. So see, he gave us his own righteousness, right? His own robe of righteousness. And a type, and it says, and it shall be peace. And the effect that's going to come out of that, of righteousness, shall be a quietness and assurance forever. So it's a different kind of a peace. When you have the Holy Ghost, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. But somehow deep within, probably all layers of the humanity and issues of this life and bills and you name them and pains and aches and afflictions, you know, problems with their family, children, loved ones. But underneath all that, how else can you have an assurance forever? It has to be deep. It can't be based on the weather. So that's the kind of peace. It's the peace to the elected lady, as it mentioned. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Well, the Holy Ghost can only do that, in my experience. And in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings and publisheth peace. Jesus did that. The disciples did that. Brother Branham brought that. John the Baptist brought that. Many out of the Bible, many preaching this message are bringing you that peace to the elected lady, as it said. That publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, now thy God reigneth. The God bringeth. He reigneth with peace. But then not only that, he says, I want the peace of God ruling your hearts. So, you know, have its effect. Right? So look at what Hezekiah brought something to. He got a glimpse of it on 38:9. Of course, when he had gotten sick. And then he said, the writing of Hezekiah in verse 9, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. This is what he said on 17. he's saying other things before and after, and he says, before, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. To be able to get into a peaceful situation, because it says, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. Look at his revelation, from the pit of corruption. See, this is the kind of peace he's talking about. He had this bitterness, but he says, for peace I had great bitterness. To be able to understand that peace. But thou in love, these are precious words, deep words, because it's to my soul deliver it from the pit of corruption. And this is the Old Testament. Look what it's prophesying and bringing light of. It says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. My goodness, that would bring peace. That he had it. I mean, I think his sickness was unto death. It wasn't your typical, you know, temporal. It says, I think it was spiritual sickness too. Because it says, for the grave cannot praise thee. Look at his revelation. Just get into what he was praying and prophesying and praising God for. Death cannot celebrate thee. I mean, how many have you been in that position where you can't even celebrate God? But see, that peace had not come in and made his abode. Talking about that settled peace. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. In Isaiah 57, it says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. Look at the kind of peace. Each one walking in his righteousness. See? That robe of righteousness. So we're just talking about that Holy Spirit in you. That's the peace. Amen? Jesus preached peace. Peace I leave unto you, he said on John. My peace I give unto you. But see, here's the thing. Not as the world gives. It was his peace. He's the Prince of Peace. This is the kind of peace. Two different pieces that you can talk about. Give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. That's the salutation, right?
Right.
But then look at what the condition is. And if is a condition. That means if this is the case, the Son of Peace, in other words, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, King of Salem, be there, your peace shall rest upon it.
Amen.
You know, when you read that epistle, when Paul is saying, grace, peace, be unto the church at Lula, be unto the church in the different places, right? And the Colossians, and the different places he touched on, then, you know, it would rest. But if not, look what it says, if not, it shall return unto you again. So see, unto who? Unto you. Because they had that peace. They had the peace of God ruling in their hearts. Isn't that beautiful? They knew this. Because it says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. You know, not as you suppose. In other words, I came not to send peace, but sword. Right? To that extent. But rightly divided here, it says in Matthew 10. Actually, this is the same chapter, 10, 34. But earlier on 13, he said, and if the house be worthy, if, you know, the vessel, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return unto you. So, of course, he was talking about if the peace is there, you know, then let it rest on. But if it's not, it's not. So, Jesus was rightly dividing. He said, not everybody has got this, in other words, right? But look what happened here. Very strong words here, because you got Hebrews 11, 31. Pay attention to this one. Look at the word faith and harlot right next to each other. By faith, so not by anything human speaking, it says the harlot. My goodness, by faith the harlot. Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So what did she have different? Amen. When she had received, she believed, the spies with peace. Why did... The Son of Peace was in effect. The Son of Peace came through that lineage, right? Through the woman and through the parents, right? And my goodness, it's just amazing that she had a revelation of peace in her condition. So see how this is God's peace. And the natural, I could be a nervous person. Many things you fight through. But that peace of God is just, it's in another dimension.
Right.
It's a settling, right? And we'll wrap up here. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. So see the reconciliation here? And he made peace, right? This is the kind of peace that he was able to give to us, because it was the peace we needed. It was a, we'll see, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? There you go. So Ephesians 2:14, the content is about uncircumcision or circumcision. It says, and that he might reconcile both meaning the circumcised or the uncircumcised, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. There you have it. He preached peace to you which were afar and to them that were nigh. In other words, both. Circumcised, no uncircumcised, right? Right. Nor Jew, nor, and it's by faith. And here's that verse I was referring to. So this is Zechariah's prophecy over John the Baptist's birth, right? When he couldn't speak. And then all of a sudden his mouth was open. And the first thing that he did, he prophesied. Right. You know, he wrote down John and just couldn't hold that revelation. And he just started prophesying, right? And thou, child, thou shalt be the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Isn't that beautiful? It's exactly what John the Baptist come to do. And then he waxed and grew in strength, we know. Verse 79, same chapter. But look what his father prophesied over him. To give light to them that sit in darkness and to the shadows of and in the shadows of death. To guide our feet, he included himself, into the way of peace. Isn't that amazing? And that's what this prophet message came to do. Amen. John 16, it says, these things I have spoken, the words spoken, unto you, that in me ye may have peace. That's the peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Two different things here. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
No peace for the wicked, right? It just says there's no peace for the wicked here, says the Lord. And depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And as we close up here, the markings of peace, I wanted to touch on this scripture. It's beautiful because if you come in touch with that peace, look at what the confidence that this statement has. For in Christ, neither Jews or circumcision or for in Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's the rule, because we'll see here it says, and as many as walk according to this rule, this revelation, peace be unto them. And here it says, and mercy and upon the Israel as well, Israel of God. And it says, from henceforth let no man trouble me. In other words, nobody come, you know, questioning me, for I bear in my body the marks. He bears the marks that led him to that peace. His testimony, your scars. Amen. So this is just the confidence that we have about that we know that peace, that we know. That's how deep this revelation goes. That you can come back and show somebody. It's like, here's, nobody trouble me about this. I have the peace of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. The marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, now chastening for a present seemeth not joyous, right? But then it yieldeth a peaceable fruit. Finally, brethren, it says, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Live in that Holy Ghost. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Right, it's a fruit of the Spirit, so that's what it is. So that means that it has to come by the Holy Ghost. See? Because it's just like anything else. It's like joy, you know, it can't have it without the Holy Ghost. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Just a reminder here, it is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That's why when it said here, and when he said this, peace be unto you, that's when and then he's breathed on them, and then he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen? And it just became as a fruit. Amen. It's one of them. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, these things we just spoke about, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Be found in that Holy Ghost, right? Without spot and blameless. It requires that, right? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. That settling peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the Lord, he says, look at this. Now the Lord of peace himself, the King of Salem, the Prince of Peace, give you peace always by all means. Look at this blessing. The Lord be with you all. be still and know. Amen. God bless you, saints here. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. May you receive that peace of God today. Amen. Yes. God bless you all through his word. Praise the Lord.